The Magnificent Marquis, written by Barbara Cartland, narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1868. The Marquis yawned and sighed.
I must get up now.
The woman lying beside him moved a little closer. Don't go yet, darling Rex, she murmured. It's so marvellous and exciting when you love me.
It is indeed, replied the Marquis. But I have an engagement for early tomorrow morning, and I must catch a little sleep.
A soft arm wound round his neck. I heard just today, she whispered, that George is worse, and the doctors do not think he will live very much longer. There was a little pause before she carried on. Then, maybe, darling, we can be together forever. It will be the most wonderful thing that has ever happened to me. It was with the greatest difficulty that the Marquis did not flinch. He merely responded, Take care of yourself, and don't do too much. Despite the soft hands holding him back, he climbed out of the bed. He dressed himself quickly with the expertise of a gentleman who could manage without a valet, and then walked back towards the bed. The dark-haired and alluring beauty with whom he had spent so much time these past weeks was waiting for him. She held out her arms, but he just took one of her hands in his. Thank you, Sylvia, for a memorable evening. His lips touched her skin, and then he turned to the door. She gave a little cry.
Rex, Rex, please, kiss me again.
He pulled the door open and looked back.
I have to leave you. Go to sleep, Sylvia, and dream of me.
You know I will, she pouted.
He ran down the stairs, pulled open the front door, and let himself out. He only had a short way to walk to his own house, and he set off at a quick pace. He was aware that he was running away from yet another trap, and there had been so many of them. Because he was tall and exceedingly handsome, women had pursued the Marquis ever since he had left school. They found him irresistible. Each one believed he would stay with her forever, but unfortunately for them he soon became bored with each affaire de coeur. Even he was sometimes shocked at how quickly it all came to an end. When he first met Lady Ulstead, he had thought she was one of the most beautiful women he had ever come across, and he naturally imagined that she would be different from all the others whose favours he had accepted. However, it was exactly the same scenario. It had happened to him so often that he felt he knew the routine by heart. There were the rendezvous they would arrange so that they would not be talked about. If the husband was away, or, as in the case of Lady Ulstead, he was in the country having suffered a stroke, they had been careful where they met. He could only visit her when the entertainment for the evening was over and all the servants had gone to bed. Half the gossip in Mayfair originated with the staff, and they invariably knew what was happening in every house. Even if they did not see who came in so late, they would have been told to leave the front door unbolted, and this meant, of course, that the visitor had a key of his own. The Marquis reached Park Lane, where his house was only a short distance away. He had never expected that Sylvia would want him to marry her. He had grown so used to having love affairs with married women whilst their husbands were fishing, shooting, or travelling abroad. He had not, rather stupidly he now thought, taken into account that where Sylvia was concerned, her husband was seriously ill and likely to die. Now, after all she had said to him this evening, he was aware that she was seeking marriage, which he had always shied away from. He had witnessed too many of his contemporaries and friends married off to young girls simply because their parents thought it was a suitable match. When he talked to them later, usually after only just a year or two of marriage, they had confided in him how incredibly bored they were. Now, the only possibility of having any amusement was to have a clandestine affair de cour.